Welcome to another edition of Lex Talk History, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Now, here's your hosts, Lexington History Museum Executive Director Mandy Higgins and WUKY's own Alan Lytle.
Welcome back to the podcast booth, Mandy.
Hi, Alan.
Fall is upon us now, and it is October, and that's just a really, really good feeling around the museum.
It is. First of all, October, best time to be in Lexington, hands down. Like, podcast friends, we've had a lot of feelings. Biggest feeling, October is the best time to be in Lexington. Beats April. Love it.
And a lot of stuff that's happening. Let's recap what happened in September and a little bit of what's going on.
Yeah. So September, huge month, back to school. We've had some really great experiences in the museum. Of course, we always have to be excited when Leadership Lexington comes in because it's great to get, that new crop of leaders every year to come through. We were so pleased to be able to host one of the performances for 250 Lex's Sacred Music Festival. And we had a Navajo flutist in, so that was incredible. And we said goodbye to the Queer Here and Everywhere traveling exhibit. But for October, we have another traveling exhibit in the space, Mary Todd's Lexington, a traveling exhibit by the Mary Todd Lincoln House that'll be there for the month, be in the museum for the month of October. And for those of you with children, there's a free activity book with it as well. So that's very exciting to have in the museum. We also have coming up on October 30th, Estelle Pennington will be giving a lecture in partnership with the museum and the Bluegrass Trust on Lord Byron and a painting of Lord Byron that has just returned to the Bluegrass.
Oh, that's fascinating.
So that's on October 30th at 6:30. You can learn more at our website at lexhistory.org and register for that. It is a free talk.
And of course, the Intersections exhibit continues as well.
Intersections continues. And if you've been to the museum, you should come back because we've added some material. You can learn a little bit more about Lexington politicians, restaurants and taverns that are well-known or nostalgic for folks. Hint, hint, there's a little bit about Stanley Demos and some Crab Demos, if for those of you who miss the Coach House like I do.
Oh, my mouth is watering already.
Actors and performers, Lorabelle Bundy is in there. And then, of course, it's Equine Month, and we're going to talk a lot about horses in a minute, but we have added a really important and special Lexington story about Will Harbutt and Man of War.
Oh yes, the mostest hoss, I think is what's the quote attributed, correct?
Yes, Will.
I did my research.
You did very well. The Harbutts have a long history in Lexington. There are still Harbutt descendants living and working in Lexington, and we got a lot of questions on why Man of War and Will were not a part of the exhibit, and it mattered. So, of course. For those of you who don't know, Will Harbutt was the longtime groom, about 16 years, of Man of War when he was at Faraway Farm. They both were at Faraway Farm. And when Will died somewhat suddenly and before Man of War was listed as a survivor in Will Harbutt's obituary, which I find really just like deeply Lexington. And then Man of War passed less than a month after Will died, and it was buried at Faraway and then moved to the horse park. And that's a whole other story that we can get into later. But it is a really just that deeply Lexington equine feeling with maybe the most famous horse ever. We could argue about that, but definitely in the 20th century.
Well, that is the nicest segue possible, getting into our Let's Get Into It theme, which is for October. 250 Lexus is equine, and go for it.
Yeah, so we are so excited. Of course, in Lexington, we love a horse. Horse capital of the world. Don't come at us, Ocala. Leave it alone, New York. It is ours. And we, this month, are so excited to have Hallie Hardy here from Horse Country to tell us a little bit about the ways that the horse industry has made Lexington and continues to influence it. So, Hallie, can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me today. I'm excited to be on the podcast and sharing our unique history here as, Lexingtonians and Central Kentuckians with our connection with the horse. So, yeah, my name is Hallie Hardy. I'm the executive director of Visit Horse Country. We are a not-for-profit membership organization, so we work with 28 different farms and equine facilities in the area to help facilitate their tours and experiences. So promoting, like when you come to Horse Country, it's not just a place, it's a thing you can do as well. And so we're excited to be with you today to share all the ways that our local community can connect with the horse through the month of October too.
Yeah, so I think before we get anywhere, most people think of Lexington as a thoroughbred capital. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit? It's a full horse, right?
Like, yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. And I think our roots as the horse capital of the world are really deeply connected to the thoroughbred industry. And if you look at the population of horses that we have here, right? So across the state, we're just under 240,000 horses across the state. Fun fact, that's one horse for every 18 Kentuckians. So, but most of those horses are located here in central Kentucky. So if you take the Bluegrass region, Fayette County, and I think it's like the 7 or 8 surrounding counties, it's actually one horse for every 8 Kentuckians. So a lot of those horses are here. And most of those are thoroughbreds. They're breeding thoroughbreds. They really help give us that moniker as the horse capital of the world. But with the likes of the Kentucky Horse Park and the facility that it is for hosting not only, you know, the Kentucky 3-day event, but right now there's the Split Rock, you know, jumping show that's going on. You know, they host all kinds of events for jumping, for Western pleasure, reining. You know, they really are, I think Lee Carter, who's the executive director, said this, is they're like the Fenway Park of, you know, equestrian competitive spaces. So that's on, you know, every equestrian's radar. And of course, that then helps, you know, grow the audience there, the different, what we call equestrian disciplines or equestrian sports, to really find a home here in central Kentucky. I actually grew up riding saddlebreds. So of course, Shelbyville is really kind of the saddlebred capital of the world. And I know plenty of people who play polo, passed a polo match out of the horse park the other day. So there are all kinds of different horses here in Kentucky. The thoroughbred really is kind of that foundation, just numbers wise. But there is a whole ecosystem around the horse here in central Kentucky that really gives us the moniker of the horse capital of the world.
Yeah, and we would be remiss not to mention Red Vial, especially this year.
100%. That's a great point, too. And I was lucky a few years ago to own a few hares on some standard bred horses, literally just so we could go have a good time at Red Mile. It's such a, what a unique asset we have right in downtown Kentucky. Yeah, so the standard bred, and of course, there's so much history to the standard bred here, too. The standard bred and the thoroughbred really were really on par with one another in terms of numbers and the impact. And the standard bred industry has kind of spread out nationally, but you're seeing more and more people come back to the central Kentucky, to Lexington, to establish farms, to breed their stallions, breed their mares, and to race at the Red Mile.
Yeah, and they are celebrating their 175th year.
Which
this
wild.
Year. Wild. In October, right?
Yes.
I believe their first race was in October.
Yes. I think they raced through like the first 2 weekends. I don't know the dates specifically, but they have a huge, huge race that culminates with their meet at Red Mile as well. That brings people from all over the country and the world for their big race.
I just had a talk, with a group of former fraternity members who travel all over the world and have reunions every year. Mm-hmm. And they came to Lexington because one of them owned a standard bred that had raced at Red Mile. You were the first person I've ever talked to
right.
who was like, yeah, I came back because of Red Mile.
I love that.
That's awesome.
I mean, when I did own a few hares on some horses, I mean, there are people that were in that syndicate with us that had owned, you know, they'd raced at Royal Ascot in the UK and had winners. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of horse you're connected to. Horses are so cool. They just are. So even having a winner at Red Mile it feels just as good as it does it at Kingland, or maybe not a Kentucky Derby. But, you know, having a winner counts no matter what kind of horse it is.
Absolutely. Well, so you told us that Visit Horse Country is a not-for-profit. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit more about how it developed and what you're...
Yeah, absolutely. So we are talking about anniversaries, and Red Mile, we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, which is just wild to say out loud. I have not been there in the position for all 10 years, but we really started our first tours that we offered under the Horse Country banner were in 2015 when the Breeders' Cup was first held at Kingland, which of course ended up being a monumental year for horse racing. American Pharoah had won the Triple Crown. He is the first and only, as of now, Grand Slam winner. Talk about kismet timing, all told. So first tours that week, I think he won on Halloween. So, you know, that's our kind of 10-year mark of an anniversary, and then in 2016 we really got off the ground. And you know, the vision behind it, I think, really was initially from a thoroughbred perspective about fan development. You know, if you go to the races, and say you do go down to the paddock and you watch horses, I mean, that's maybe 20 to 30 minutes of you getting to see a horse, watch it race, but then it goes back to the barn and, you know, you might never see or hear about that horse ever again. But there's so much more that goes in to raising these horses, to getting them ready for the races, to what they do after they finish racing. And that's not just true for horse racing. That's true for all kinds of different equestrian disciplines and competitions. So I think this concept of allowing fans to really connect with the horse was the main, you know, I guess, launching pad, if you will, for horse country. But what we found as we were getting off the ground is that people have been coming to Lexington for years. I mean, using Man of War as an example, millions of people came to see him when he was standing at stud at Faraway Farm, Fairway Farm. And that was way back in the day.
Right.
When he passed away, he laid in state. And hundreds of thousands of people came to visit him here and to see him resting, you know, before he was formally laid to rest. Like, that is amazing. And, you know.
I love talking about Man of War. If you can see pictures of Man of War in his coffin, which is...
It's wild.
And it's this big box.
And it, you know, back in that day, you know, baseball was a big sport. You know, it wasn't the same landscape that we have now. But what is still true is the incredible connection to the horse, if you feel. I mean, we still feel that with American Pharoah. Mm-hmm. And people come from all around the world to see him. That it's been 10 years, right, since he won the Triple Crown. But what we found, again, some people who have, like, tourists and travelers who really pushed. You know, farms would let people come out, but it was like, wait, hold up. We have this whole, you know, our industry could be playing this much bigger role in our tourism industry. And I don't think that we started there, but we quickly found the role that we can play in that space. So we still, I mean, you know, for our existing fans who come, they're only about 30% of our guest numbers. You know, 70 to 80% know nothing about the horse, but they are coming to Kentucky. And what do you think of when you come to Kentucky, right? Horses and bourbon.
Yeah.
And we have such an incredible asset in the land that we have here. The horses themselves. Oh my God, I mean, I get chills talking about it. And then also the amazing people that we have too. Like, you know, again, using Will Harbutt as an example. I mean, the connection that they have to that horse, because of course horses aren't, they're not going to talk to you, right? But the people who take care of them can tell you these incredible stories, give you the opportunity to get up close and personal with them. It's a really special thing. And I would argue, of course, there are horse farms in other parts of the world, but nobody does it like we do here in Lexington. So that, again, talking about our start and the impetus behind it, you know, again, really driven by fan development. But what we've found is just the incredible role that the horse plays to our identity here in Lexington and to hopefully our local community as well. You know, how many people are from Lexington but have never really been around a horse? Like, come out on a tour, come experience, especially during 250 Lex. But we found that our role in the tourism industry, and we've just scratched the surface of that. I think we have a very long way to go in growing our numbers and how many people we welcome and really connecting them to the horse. But it's so fulfilling. You know, when you love what you do, which just about everybody who works on our member farms, man, they love the horse. They love what it means to Kentucky. When you're able to share that with people, man, it feels really, really good.
Yeah. Can you tell us or share maybe some of those moments, a specific horse or something from one of the member farms that really
Absolutely.
Sticks out?
Well, and there's so many good stories and anecdotes over the years. And it ranges, again, from people who are diehard fans, you know, who, I don't know if you all would know Zenyatta, you know, incredible race mare. For a long time, when she was still breeding and having babies, she really wasn't available to be seen. She's now retired. And if you go on a shuttle tour at Lane's End, you're going to see her. And the amount of people, you know, they pull up on the shuttle to where her paddock is, that will just immediately start crying because of how important she was to them. And I mean, even for me, that was my college days. I just loved a mare like that. But myself, I used to give tours, and my background is all in the thoroughbred industry. I've worked on different farms. And I was lucky at the time to be at Godolphin, and we had a big group with us and one family that had some young kids. And I'll never forget the look on a kid's face feeding a peppermint to this, you know, big, beautiful mare. And he just looked like, again, it gives me chills thinking about it. But so it's all kind of wide-ranging in that space. And I think some of the most fun elements, too, you forget when you live and breathe horses every day, that most people do not.
Right.
So being able to like really like the questions you get asked on these tours that are just, they're so wholesome, because how would you know? Like I'm trying to think of an example on a tour that I've been on where you just, you don't even, you know, have no idea what a daily life of a horse looks like. And to be able to, for people who haven't been around horses or even people who might have been a little scared of horses in their life, to give them the opportunity to get up close and personal, to feel how special it is to be in their presence. There are too many of those stories to share at the end of the day.
Yeah. You, like I'm watching you and you're getting very excited about it as we're talking. That's exactly what you want in an ambassador for an industry.
You're the right person for the job.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about a couple of the like well-known horses and how you can, what kind of experiences you can have with them.
Yeah, for sure. So what is great about it, and you know, we've talked about other disciplines. We do have primarily thoroughbred farms that are engaged in offering tours, but we've got other facilities that are not thoroughbred. So not racing horses. They do other equestrian disciplines, other types of horses. So most of our tours, like you really can see, depending on how many experiences you want to go on, what you want to experience, like from foaling, so young baby horses, really to how you prep a horse to get to the racetrack or whatever their sport is, to, you know, actually competing in that sport, to what retirement might look like for them. And so there is a wide range, and even the veterinary clinics, you know, what care looks like for a horse every single day. And of course, most of that care happens on the farm. You know, the veterinary clinics they're like hospitals, right? So it is unique things that you get to see there. We also have a local feed mill and hallway feeds that are downtown. So just an incredibly robust opportunities to engage. And I like to think we really live in the Disney world for horses. Like you could come, if you're a horse crazy person, you could come for a week and probably have multiple things to do every day to build up for it. But so to your question, you know, if you are a racing fan and you really want to see the names, you know, the greats, like American Pharoah and Justify are two living Triple Crown winners. They stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud in Versailles. They have tours right now, Wednesday through Fridays. We've asked for them to add some dates in October. So, you know, shameless plug, please do. And so, you know, their tours are kind of built around those stallion schedules. Right now, they're in their off season. They're not breeding mares right now, so they're a little bit more accessible. But those are opportunities to see them, to get close to them. Stallions don't tend to be really hands-on experiences. It is more kind of a stand back and appreciate. And I will attest to the fact that standing back and appreciating American Pharoah is a worthy spend of time. He's such a cool dude. You know, like he is. You think of like you know, other professional athletes, some that really aren't made for the camera or don't want to spend extra time. American Pharoah will stand out all day and just let you. He loves a camera. He loves the attention. So that's such a benefit to us. You know, you've got Flightline, who won the Breeders' Cup Classic at Kingland in 2022. You've got the great race mares. You know, your Rachel Alexandras, your Zenyattas. You know, all of those kind of big time names, which of course, again, a lot of people listening are like, who is she talking about? That's okay. Because what is also great is the opportunity to get really hands-on with mares and younger horses. So our foaling season is January really through June. So a lot of the foals are a little bit older now. Some of them might be weaned already. But at a lot of those farms, you're looking at the future of racing or equestrian sport. So Sovereignty and Good Cheer as well. So our Oaks and Derby winner for Godolphin this year, you could have seen them as a foal on the farm. So you would have seen them with their mom. They wouldn't have been named yet. But we had a ton of guests who sent pictures like, is this Sovereignty as a foal? And somebody sent one where they were way off in the distance. And we were just like, yes, that is
absolutely
Sovereignty. And that's one thing we're always trying to work on is like, you've seen these horses. How do we keep you connected to them as they do get to the racetrack? And then great things like, you know, the retraining of thoroughbreds off the racetrack. Not all horses are going to go to be stallions or brood mares to have babies. But thoroughbreds are really well primed to go on to compete in other disciplines and to be retrained. So we have several different nonprofit farms here who that's their expertise. So it's a great chance to see how horses do learn and how they are retrained. And then, of course, separately from our thoroughbred farms, you've got Spy Coast Farm, which is just a groundbreaking. They're not thoroughbred specific. They have the warm blood breed. They stand stallions. They do. They have mares training. They have an incredible rehab center as well. And then one of our newer members in Double Dan Horsemanship, they do training. They've had horses that are in TV shows and different things like that. And they do an incredible job of really showing their skill and expertise behind the scenes, if you will. So I think kind of depends, one, on kind of when you're coming to town, because we are working horse farms, right? We're not zoos, and we're not like the distilleries where we can do a tour every hour, 7 days a week. You know, that's really not practical for us. So depending on when you're here in town might dictate what's available to you. But then secondary to that is like, do you want to touch a horse? Or do you want to see an American Pharoah type character? And then we can kind of find the right experience for you and your guests or family, whoever that may be.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. You mentioned the veterinary clinic, and so it's a great opportunity to talk a little bit about Rood and Riddle.
Yeah.
The museum, we talk a lot about the overall industry and its influence on Lexington.
Yes.
So, of course, you're talking about the tracks and the specific farms. But we also have a little moment where we talk about Rood and Riddle because so many people don't know that important piece of Lexington.
100%. It's so true. And it's, you know, I love talking about why we really are the horse capital of the world, right? Like our land, first and foremost, is one of the best places in the world to raise young horses and to set them up for long-term success. We have incredible land here, right? But what's happened is because we have that land and we have this horse population, we have the best of the best people who take care of these horses every day. And of course, that is our two of the world's leading veterinary clinics in Rood and Riddle and Haggard. And it's you're so right. Like it's, again, something if you don't think about horses, you wouldn't think about on a regular basis. But they are world-leading organizations in terms of, you know, the highest care for horses that are performing, whether it's on the racetrack or in a show ring or otherwise. And, of course, all the other ancillary activities that revolve around taking care of horses every single day. And it's the best of the best people. I mean, there are people, you know, veterinarians who come from around the world to come here to Kentucky to learn the craft. And a lot of them end up staying here because there's nowhere else like Lexington in the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's such a, you know, you drive down. I'm thinking about driving here, right?
Yes.
We're on Spur Road.
Right.
So you're driving out of downtown. Mm-hmm. And on your way, you're passing the veterinary clinic. You're passing places that are named after historic farms. Mm-hmm. It's such a deep part of who we are.
Citation Boulevard.
Citation, yeah. Right.
Yes.
I should send them to you. Occasionally we'll get questions at the museum like, why is this Manowar or Pink Pigeon? Like, where did you all come up with these names?
Yeah. Well,
these are well-known horses.
Yes. It's so true.
Yeah. And so those, can you tell us a little bit about those sorts of developments and the way that you all tell tourists how that comes in?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good point, too, because I think we have such an opportunity across our membership, you know, the different farms, to tell that greater story. You know, because you can imagine you show up to any farm and you're really telling that farm's history and that story. But then it's amazing how that farm's history, you know, every farm that we have, like, it's been a horse farm for hundreds of years, right?
Right.
And it's most of the time been in the same family, occasionally changed hands. It's so true. And then how that percolates and spreads out into the rest of the Lexington community. And I think, to be honest, like, that is one benefit of horse country, is our farms feeling that and acknowledging that and sharing that in more serious ways. You know, not to use industry terminology, but sometimes you're running a horse farm and your blinkers are on and you're thinking about running a horse farm, right? Like, that is the beauty of horse country, of thinking outside of ourselves just a little bit, having some of that perspective, thinking of ourselves as attractions and as an important piece of sharing our history as the horse capital of the world, not just our present as the horse capital of the world. I think the big one we get, which is not specifically horse related, but we get people who call all the time that say Versailles instead of Versailles. That's kind of our main one. But I love that thought of talking with our members, like, what is your history here? Like, outside of just your current ownership and current horses. Cause you know, the horse Lexington, the stallion, who, again, a huge part of making us the horse capital of the world with his success as a stallion. You know, I think at least three of our farms in Versailles, you know, were part of the old Woodburn farms. Like, to be able to say, like, you know, that big blue horse you see everywhere, let's talk about our connection to him. is a I've been inspired here today.
Yeah. Well, yes. Now I'm going to leave this booth with an even bigger ego. But Lexington, that's a good point with Lexington. Very lately, we've had a lot of conversations in the museum space that involve Lexington mm-hmm. and the farm that he was foaled on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Lexington was foaled in downtown, mm-hmm. like just off 3rd Street Amazing. At the Meadows, which is now a neighborhood,
right?
And part of where the old association track was. Mm-hmm. But the number of people who have come in recently and want to know where Lexington was born. Mm-hmm. And I assume it's because of the Geraldine Brooks book.
Yes, probably.
But it goes back to sort of a bit of what you were talking about earlier with the wanting to see one of those well-known horses.
Yes.
And when the skeleton came back to the horse park, bones? Really?
Yeah.
Is this what we're doing?
Remains.
But it is such a big part that is still there and that mm-hmm. now, the symbol of the city is this...
It's so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so proud of it. I think it's such a cool thing. And it is such a fascinating story. I mean, because, again, he was a successful racehorse. But, you know, when he was a stallion and his success as a stallion, at that time, you know, Kentucky was not the center of horse racing. You know, most everybody was up in upstate New York and in and around that area. And, of course, our landscape and our society has changed drastically. But even in that time, he was so successful that most of those big breeders up in the Northeast sent their mares to Kentucky, and then they never left.
Right.
And now here we are, you know, some 200 years later, you know, still benefiting from how successful he was as a stallion. So it is fitting that he is our moniker, you know, our logo, I should say.
Right. And he's a really good example of needing sort of the language and the knowledge you have to really understand horse racing, right? Because Lexington wasn't actually his name for a while.
Yes, yeah.
And that his story helps you kind of understand the changes that, like you mentioned earlier, you might see a foal who's not named yet.
Right.
So can you tell us a little bit about those pieces?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's again a funny space where I don't know that the racing industry the equine industry in general has thought about that in the space. But fortunately, there are some tools now where you can follow along a horse. You can get notified when it's named. You can have a virtual stable. That's literally what the product is called, to be able to follow this horse along. So when it's entered in races, but it's a challenging piece of keeping people connected and telling that story. But it is a fun thing that we share with everybody, right? Most thoroughbred horses are not formally named. Nowadays, our business is pretty commercial. So last month, you know, the September sale, which was gangbusters, horses for selling for millions of dollars, people from around the world coming here to Kentucky, right, to buy their future, you know, race, you know, stable winner. But a lot of times, if you're breeding a horse to sell commercially, you're not going to name it, because whoever's going to take it to the racetrack, you want to give them that opportunity. So we now kind of have that structure around where you don't name a racehorse until early in their two-year-old year. So fun fact, you have to at least attempt to name them. I say attempt because you might not get your first attempt approved. There's certain parameters, right? It has to be 18 characters, spaces are allowed, numbers are not. But you have to at least attempt by February 1st of their two-year-old year. And a horse does have to be named before it can race. And then typically once a horse has raced, it can't be renamed unless there are very special circumstances. And it's a lot of fun. It's challenging in so many different ways. And I think Lexington did actually race under the name Darley before his name was changed. So I'm sure back in that day, maybe it was a little bit easier to get that across, if you will.
And the names have sort of historical significance, right?
Yeah.
So often they're named after their mayor or after there's some lineage.
Yeah. You typically, I mean, unless you've got a really, really cool name, you try to bring in an element of the sire, the stallion or the dad, and the dam or the mother, the mare of the horse to give a cool name. And one of my favorite examples, so this was at my days when I worked at Godolphin. Darley is the name that they used too, so fun connection there to Lexington. But a horse that ended up, a really nice race mare that ended up being called Micheline was her name. She was by the stallion Bernardini. She was out of the mare Panty Raid. Can't believe that one got across, but great name. Panty Raid was a she won multiple grade one, so at the highest level, she was a very nice race mare. Well, fun fact, the first woman to ever be photographed in a bikini was a model by the name of Micheline Bernardini. So the Bernardini from The Stallion, Panty Raid, you know, being photographed in that way. So her name was Micheline. And I love that.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
I think it's so cool. So you often, if you are looking in a racing form, not always. Again, there are plenty of examples. And in my previous job, we were able to suggest names for horses. And you can go down some Wikipedia rabbit holes if you like yourself. You know, so you're like 6 degrees of separation, but it makes sense to you.
Right.
And that's all that really matters.
Yeah. There is. I really appreciate that you explained it, how horses, you know, the lingo there, because when we do this work, you know, I'm not a horse aficionado. So sometimes we'll have visitors come in and be like, well, who's the dam? And we're like,
I don't know.
What are you talking about? I don't know.
it's very fair. And that is, again, is what we're trying to do in horse country, is kind of be that middleman, that liaison, wherever we can be. So maybe we should work on some things.
We should absolutely work on some things.
I'm all in.
Yeah, maybe we should have kids come up with some names.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So actually part of our kind of 10-year celebration, unfortunately, I'm going to talk about this. The event itself is sold out, but we're having an event at Coolmore to kind of celebrate American Pharoah as well. And we're putting together a kind of silent auction, you know, some fun memorabilia. And we've asked a couple of farms to see if they'll, like, one thing that people can bid on is a chance to name a horse.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're waiting. That's not all perfectly lined up yet, but we're hoping to be able to push that. Because it's so much. It really is a lot of fun. I probably spent way too much of my previous job, you know, time working on finding names.
But, you know, it's an important, names matter.
Yes.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you mentioned this. Can you tell us some of the other celebrations that are happening? And other
absolutely. I mean, so the beauty of October being equine month is there's already so much going on in the equine business. So obviously Kingland is racing. And for those with kids and families, if you haven't been out to Sunrise Trackside on Saturday mornings at Kingland, I cannot recommend it more. It's so much fun. You know, there's all kinds of, like, face painting, different activities, and they always are looking to bring in the horse into the equation. Of course, horses are training on the track at that time in the morning. So, you know, that's already, you know, easy, low-hanging fruit. Fun fact, if you buy a ticket to go on a horse country tour in October, you get a free GA pass with your ticket. So if anybody is like, oh, well, because I think they're sold out for a lot of the big weekends, something to keep in the back of your mind if you want to really connect with the equine industry. And then kind of most importantly is we have tours all throughout October, and great opportunities to just get out and get connected with the industry. And our tours, especially for a lot of people who don't know, if you don't know anything about horses or the equine industry, like, you're going to learn so much and hopefully have an opportunity to get up close and personal. And you can, on our website, kind of see what tours are interactive that allow you to get hands-on, what tours are family friendly. So, and if you're ever looking, whether you want to take your family out on a weekend, or you've got guests or clients in town and you're a little overwhelmed, because we do have 28, you know, facilities who offer tours, our team is here to help. Like, we are all people who have worked in the industry in some capacity, love horses. Like, we can always try to point you in the right direction. Outside of kind of the normal existing stuff, I mean, there are great events, you know, going on. One of the kind of exciting things, a little separate from horse country, but not completely, because Cody's Wish stands at Godolphin at Darley. They're unveiling his statue at the Kentucky Horse Park on the 11th, October 11th, which will be really exciting. And for those who don't know that story, it's an incredible story. I won't go into it in depth.
Every time it gets told, I get goosebumps. I really do. Yeah.
And I know I've been talking about Godolphin way too much, because that's my most recent before coming to horse country. But I got to meet Cody and his family when they came to see Cody's Wish at the end of his 2-year-old year before he shipped to Belmont. And I'll cry if I talk about it. It's a beautiful, really cool story. But outside of that, at some of our member locations, some fun kind of unique events. So we're just trying to have opportunities for, maybe if you're local and you're like, I don't really want to go on just a tour, but like, I want to go out to one of the farms and have a cool experience. We've got yoga at Windstar Farm,
yes,
which includes a tour. Tour's part of all of this. We've got Mahjong at Lane's End. You know, come play a game of Mahjong at their beautiful Stallion Center. We're doing a candle making class as well. So small things like that that do include a tour, that give you that touch point, but are just a little, you know, if you're like, I don't want to just sit and be on a tour, I'm gonna do something a little unique. And then outside of that, one thing to really put on your calendar, out at Spy Coast Farm, they have an event called EquiConnect that is also on the 11th. It's from 11 to 2, and it's open, free for the community, and there are all kinds of different organizations that are there to tell you how you can further connect to our industry. They have demonstrations. It's a really, really cool community event. So highly recommend that on the 11th. And really, just kind of challenge everybody a little bit to find a way to connect with your equine industry, your signature industry. And I think, you know, historically, because we've been focused on raising and breeding horses, you know, these opportunities haven't really existed. So I would posit, I know I'm a little biased, that our industry has really tried to make their gates open, if you will. And we want to connect with our community. Like some of what we've talked about here today, I'm really proud to be from the horse capital of the world. I am, but I've worked in the equine industry. I've worked with horses. I want other Lexingtonians and Kentuckians to know what it means to be from the horse capital of the world. And I also, like, horses are just so cool. Like, coming up and being around them, especially young horses, but any of them, an opportunity to get your hand on a horse is really kind of our call to action, if you will. Get your hand on a horse this October. And then the last week of the meet, so I think the Monday is the 20th, looking through that week, we're going to have some unique opportunities to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. So we'll have some specific kind of meet and greets with some bigger names that people might recognize. That the event at Coolmore that I mentioned, we did actually sell out very quickly for that. But we're going to be trying to have a morning at Kingland. So if you follow us on social media, check out our website. You can be able to see all of those unique experiences. And that's really when we're really going to push to get your hands on a horse, you know, that week, which is exciting. And of course, the Breeders' Cup. This year is run out in San Diego and Del Mar this year, but it's coming back, baby. So we're going to be trying to promote all the Breeders' Cup horses because, again, as you mentioned earlier, most of them come back. They're from here and they're coming back home, you know, when it's all said and done. So,
well, can you tell folks your website so they know where to go?
Yes, absolutely. It's visithorsecountry.com. You can book a tour directly on site there. You can filter, again, kind of based on when you're in town, what kind of experience you want to have, you know, where you want to go, like where you are geographically. And again, I just highly encourage you, if you're looking and you're not really sure, do not hesitate to give us a call. Like, our customer service team is here to help in whatever way, because we know it's a little overwhelming for people if you don't know anything about horses, if you're not really sure what kind of experience you want. We can help you figure that out. And outside of our website, another way to just stay up to date about new events, what's going on throughout the month of October, you know, the 250 Lex website and their calendar is a great way to stay in touch with all of the great ways you can connect with the horse this month.
Awesome. To piggyback on that just a little bit, You mentioned the meet, which, of course, October is a huge time with the meet. And we want to encourage you that when you're out at Keeneland and you're touching a horse, that you also visit the Keeneland Library in October.
For sure.
They have a new exhibit called Racetheus, The Making of Latino Legacies in Racing. That'll open on October 1st in the library. It's also a 250 Lex supported exhibit.
That's great.
And Rhoda does, if y'all, you listeners have heard Rhoda Ferrero before, the work that she does is incredible, so it'll be
amazing.
On display. It has 100 content spotlights, 100 men and women from across the Americas at every level of the sport from the 1800s to today. So exactly, you know, those pieces of the stories to continue to bring that out.
It's so true, and I also forgot to mention that I believe Sunday, October 5th, is going to be the 250 Lex Day out at Kingland. So I know they're going to have some fun activations throughout the day and just a great opportunity to come and you know, take that extra step of feeling welcome at the racetrack if you're a local, you know.
Get some Bergoo.
Yeah. And they've got a family day. They've got College Scholarship Day. The family day is amazing. Kingland, God bless them. Yeah. They do so much for our community and really for our industry, too, and their outreach. And I think Horse Country is our attempt to be like, hey, we're here with you, too. You know, it's not just Kingland. So.
Well, we can't leave a podcast without getting a shiv in at Louisville. And the perfect place to do that is Kingland because it does do all of that and more, and the partnerships that the industry has in the city. We really couldn't be who we are without Lexington, without the horse in Lexington. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, it was such a pleasure. And we hope to see everybody out and, you know, throughout the month. I think looking at this year, Equine Month is, no one else can have an Equine Month when they're celebrating 250 years, right? We're so unique in that. And so we hope we'll see everybody out on a tour or out at the races.
I got one thing to say also. Aesthetically, horse farms are just the most beautiful places to be, especially in the autumn when the leaves are changing. I mean, think about that in your head, taking your family or your friends. to be surrounded by really the best of nature.
It's so true. It's so true. We've just moved out to the horse park, and outside of our windows, I can see, you know, red trees, and it's just, you know, makes you melt a little bit. You got to love it. It's very true.
I've got one trivia to ask, too. Do you know what happened at the same time in 2010? What was going on?
Oh, yeah, the World Equestrian Games.
Yes, yes, indeed. Yeah. Can you believe it's been 15 years?
It is absolutely wild. I actually was working, I like volunteered and was working at the endurance race. So instead of a mile and a quarter, right, they're running 100-mile races, and they have to go through vet checks. And I remember Sheikh Mohammed coming through and having his horse. They have to, like, get their heart rate and their respiratory rate before they can go out. It's, and, like, the horse park now and the landscape of the horse park now is so much to that experience and event. It's very special.
And that was the first time it was held outside of Europe, correct?
I believe so, yes.
And it really did a lot for, like, if we can get off on a whole tangent, but yeah. I think it is important to note that some of the improvements at Tandy Park were because of the Equestrian Games, some of the changes to how we interact with the city were all because we were able to bring this to Lexington.
Yeah. And I think Lexington should be so, the city, you know, and our community, we should be so proud of being able to rise to the occasion of hosting an event like the Breeders' Cup, an event like the World Equestrian Games. Like, there are not many small cities that are able to do that and do that to the level that we do. I mean, it's one thing in horse country, we're always so proud of the hospitality we bring to the table. It's, we live in such a special place,
don't we?
I'm from Frankfurt originally, but I'm a very proud Lexingtonian.
We'll forgive you because at least you have a great drive from Frankfurt to Lexington or Lexington to Frankfurt. If you haven't driven Old Frankfurt Pike, especially in the morning when there's a little bit of mist, it is truly maybe the most beautiful place in the world.
It's worthy, even if it's a little out of your way, worth your time, especially in the fall, to your point, with as the leaves are changing. Goodness gracious. I'm going to go do that now.
Wow. Well, we want to thank our guest today, big time. Thank you so much, Hallie. And you'd like to do a little preview of coming attractions?
Yes.
November, what do we got?
Before November, remember, you can come here at Estill Pennington on October 30th, talk about the painting of Lord Byron that was just brought back to the bluegrass. You can learn more about that at lexhistory.org. And you can visit the Mary Todd's Lexington exhibit throughout the month of October. We're open Thursdays and Fridays, 12 to 4, and Saturdays, 10 to 4, or by appointment. And then in November, it is really fitting that we're going to be talking about Painting of Lord Byron on October 30th, because November is art month for 250 Lex. And so we will hopefully have some guests who are promoting the arts and all of the great things that Lexington does around art and art, you know, all its forms, visual, performing, vocal. So we're really excited about that coming up.
Oh my gosh, yes. And just strap in. It's going to be a very, very interesting couple of months here as we roll down 250, our 250th anniversary and beyond, really.
Right. Well, I mean, buckle up, friends, because the fun and the excitement doesn't end.
Again, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we will see you next month.
You've been listening to Lex Talk History, a monthly podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Lex Talk History from the podcast page at WUKY.org. And if you haven't done so already, please make plans to visit the Lexington History Museum soon. Get started on your tour at lexhistory.org.